Well, good evening, brothers and sisters in the churches in Northern California. I am very pleased that the brothers would have the feeling that we continue some speaking or fellowship with you on these Tuesday nights. So let's call these Tuesday night talks or something like this. I intend this to be informal, and however, the burden, as always, is heavy and weighty. And maybe many of you don't know already, but maybe some of you don't. I'd like to take this opportunity to first tell you that the 21 days of prayer, the global round-the-clock prayer, based on the fellowship of an international group of co-workers, is going to be extended starting tomorrow. I think tomorrow is May 1st, I think so, and for another, not May 1st, I'm sorry, April 22nd, and we would like to continue such a prayer for another 9 days, taking us exactly to the end of this month. As I said elsewhere, or maybe with you, that my personal longing before the Lord is simply this, that this time with this virus and with this kind of upheaval and ordeal, the likes of which we don't face often, and it's really unusual and unprecedented kind of times, upending and changing a lot of things, including our lives, that we would take this as a speaking from the Lord or a call from the Lord, that not only our physical life, human life, social life would change, would have to be adjusted, but very much our spiritual existence, our spiritual Christian life, I would even say our church life, would not be the same after this. And I don't say that lightly or easily. I really mean what I just said, that things have to change. Things have to improve. Things have to advance in each of our own life and walk with the Lord, and also with the church life that we know. And where should we start? How do we start? How do we change things? Well, hopefully the environment is working a little bit upon us, you know, forcing us to stay home and use Zoom and have more prayer and so on. But I would like to tell you that I'm quite convinced that the place to start is with our prayer life and with the church's prayer life on two counts, both personal, individual, and corporate or the church side. Both need to have a major advance because we're simply not there, not there. Are we satisfied with our prayer life? I am not. Are we satisfied with the church's prayer? I don't think we are. Our prayer meetings up until these days, still the least attended meetings. Sometimes just a fraction of the church would show up on Tuesday or Wednesday night to pray. What about our own prayer, except for maybe a little morning revival or something? Do we have set times to pray? Do we pray ourselves into God to touch his interest and, you know, echo his heavenly intercession on a daily way? I think few of us are doing that. Not only the common saints, but even the elders, even the co-workers. I just have this feeling, and I'm not prophesying, I'm just burdened, that throughout the whole earth, in the Lord's recovery at least, I don't know about the other Christians. I believe many Christians are praying. But I'm mainly speaking to the Lord's recovery, to the saints, the lovers of the Lord, and the followers of the Lord, that if not all of us, a number of us, hopefully more than before, would touch this matter of prayer in a new and fresh way, so that prayer among us will no longer be a common thing, an ordinary thing, something we do once in a while, something we do before we give a message or we fellowship, we just, let's pray a little bit. Sure, we need to pray in those situations, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a vow, a dedication in this matter to treat prayer as something special, something indispensable. The Lord said, you know, when he saw that that outer court of the temple being filled with money changers and commerce going on, people merchandising. You remember the story. He overturned the tables. He chased those people out. He said, you have made my father's house the house of what? The house of prayer. Into a den of robbers. He was upset. He was indignant. This house of God, the temple, which really typifies the church today, Christ and the church today, should be a place of prayer. The church is a place to pray. The church should be a praying church. Of all things that the church does, the Lord, the Old Testament would call it, I believe it's in Isaiah, the house of prayer. And one day it says, this house of prayer will be the house of prayer for the nations, for all the nations in the coming kingdom, in the restoration. All the people who want to contact God would have to come here to pray, with the nation of Israel being the priests on the earth to help them to come to God. Today, brothers and sisters, we're in the church, and the recovery is a recovery of the church. I would like to submit that this matter of prayer has not been fully recovered yet among us. We pray, we have prayed, and we've been touched. And there's been a lot of ministry, even about the importance of prayer, the ministry of prayer. But somehow we have not broken through yet. I don't think so. And that's why I look to the Lord in these days, in these kind of times, we would have mercy. We would have grace from the Lord, the churches. I say again, maybe not everyone, but a percentage of saints, for sure, the older saints, the senior saints, the brothers and sisters who have some experience and history in the Lord's recovery, those who have certain level of maturity, but not just the older saints. I'm not saying you can be young, but be given to prayer. It's not, there's no limit to the age. It depends on your burden. It depends whether you have entered into the reality of this kind of intercessory life and ministry. But I just feel the Lord is calling. He's still calling. And that's why we have these 21 days. That's why we want to extend another 9 days. I just give you two cases. Many of you know, and I share this elsewhere, Brother Dick Taylor, you know, he used to minister the word among us, and because of his health, he has not been able to do that for several years. But recently, he just gave me a call, maybe 10 days ago. He said, Brother Minoru, I just want to let you know, after these 21 days, we cannot stop. And I don't think he really meant do it for 9 more days and then stop. I think he meant we cannot stop, period. Period. That means we cannot stop praying this way from now on. Brothers and sisters, we have to come to a point that we need to pray like this daily until the Lord comes back. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? We need to preach the gospel. We need to shepherd the saints. We need to serve the Lord in many ways, and we will get into those things, and those things are important. But nothing is more important than prayer. Prayer, remember, is signified by that incense altar, the golden altar, in between the holy place and the holiest of all. And there, that particular piece of furniture, which signifies the resurrected Christ, the praying Christ, even the ascended interceding Christ. We know this from the book of Romans chapter 8, and we know this from Hebrews 7, that he is up there in the heavenlies, in the heavenly holy of holies, interceding for us day and night. Talk about unceasingly pray. There's someone who has been praying for 2,000 years unceasingly, and that is Christ. That is the Lord. You think we'd be here if not for his intercession in such a detailed way? Only he knows. And thank the Lord, thank God, he is not encompassed with sins, but surely he knew our weakness. He has tasted of our weakness, so he knows where we are, how weak we are, and what we need. And such a one today is the praying one up there for us. He knows how to be our advocate. He knows how to plead our case. He's been praying for 2,000 years for the saints. But how many of his saints are praying down here in response to his prayer to join with him, to pray for his saints? Brothers and sisters who are not concerned merely about their own needs, their own feelings, their own concerns, but all that is in their heart is for the Lord's concern, which is for all the saints and for all the churches and for God's kingdom and God's will. Where are these people praying? I believe all overcomers are praying ones. I don't believe there's one overcomer that doesn't pray. So let us, I don't want to use the word consecrate. Sometimes it's just used way too commonly. But I hope you will get a little feeling from my speaking of how serious this matter is, how weighty this matter is. Actually, God's economy, God's administrative economy and work hinges on this, hangs on the balance of our prayer. The Lord cannot move as he wished to without some man praying, standing in the breach. These days, I'm just recounting all the cases of prayer. The more prominent examples of prayers: Abraham praying for his cousin, for Sodom and Gomorrah. A glorious intercession, in Brother Lee's words. Moses' prayer, standing in the breach when Israel sinned, to ask for God's pardon, that he would not destroy this nation and replace it with his own. That means Moses. And then Daniel's prayer for the return of the captivity. You have to read that book again. The book of Daniel again. How about the Lord Jesus in the New Testament? How about John 17? How about that prayer? All for his own, his disciples, us, to the Father, that we be kept and preserved. How about Paul's prayer? Paul's prayer, of course, we don't find long prayers of Paul, but how about the two prayers in Ephesians, bowing the knees for the saints to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, to have their inner eyes open, to have spiritual insight into the things of God and his economy. And the prayer in chapter 3 for our experience, for saints to be strengthened into their inner man, and for Christ to make home in their hearts, for all to apprehend the dimensions of Christ, that they may be filled unto the fullness of God. All this is to result in the church as the eternal purpose, the goal of God's eternal purpose. How about this? And today, just now, as I was preparing for this, I just thought about Elijah mentioned in James. You know, in James at the end, it talks about the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Talking about Elijah, he prayed and says he earnestly prayed, and then so heavens closed up and there was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. And I like to just read to you a very fresh footnote from that. That word, he earnestly prayed, in Greek literally means he prayed in prayer. A very strange kind of a grammar. He prayed in prayer. What does that mean? Brother Lee said, this indicates that a prayer from the Lord was given to Elijah. Elijah didn't pray his own prayer. He prayed with a prayer given to him. Brothers and sisters, have you learned that? Do you know how to not pray your own prayer? Do you know how to pray a prayer given to you by God, by the Lord? Talk about us just being an echo chamber, praying the responsive prayer to what he is praying above on the other end of this heavenly ladder. This end being the Spirit in our spirit, our mingled spirit. That end being the throne of God in the holiest of all, in the heavenly tabernacle. In the end, don't pray our prayer. We pray his prayer. We pray the prayer that is given by the head to his body to pray. But how much does the body pray that prayer? Elijah did, in which he prayed in that given prayer. He did not pray in his feeling, thought, intention, or mood, or in any kind of motivation arising from circumstances or situations. It's easy to pray that way. You know, I have a need, you know, I'm sick, or I'm whatever, or some others, you pray. That's relatively easy. But to pray not according to your circumstances or situation, not according to your thought or your intention, to fulfill his own purpose, that means our own purpose, Elijah prayed in the prayer given to him by the Lord for the accomplishment of his will. These days, when we talk about we need to recover the matter of prayer, we're talking about recovering this kind of prayer, not just the general ordinary prayer, which we need. And I don't slight that. We need to bring everything to the Lord in prayer. But as the song, the hymn we just sang, pray to labor with the Lord. And I would like to even now recommend many of the prayer songs under prayer in our hymnal, mostly written by Brother Lee in the 50s, I believe, late 50s. We need to sing those hymns. Those songs, those hymns on prayer are not praying for the ordinary prayer. They are prayer that directly related to God's purpose, related to the fulfillment and the execution of his will. There is a drought, there is a lack of such praying people on the earth. And if we in the Lord's recovery are not doing that, I don't know who will. Because we have been given this precious ministry to know the word, to know God's will, to know God's purpose. And yet we do not pray that prayer. Who will pray that prayer? We are key, brothers and sisters. Let's not despise ourselves. We're nothing. We're nobody. But nobody can pray. if we set our heart to it. Now, in some other fellowship in these days, and also with you last week, I begin to talk about how to sustain such prayer after the virus days are over. Well, by the way, a recession is ahead of that, so we're not out of the woods by a long shot. This is all God's doing, just like this. He snapped his little finger, and it's just like this. If we pass through these days without entering into the prayer of God, then these days are really lost and futile. They're missed and wasted. I really, really hope not, brothers and sisters. So I'd like to sound this call out to you tonight again. Now, what will sustain us? I would say this, I mean, not in any particular order. Number one, you have to touch this kind of prayer. It's a very special saying. You have to know this kind of prayer. Another brother just called me. We have a long talk yesterday. He said, Brother Minaro, I want to tell you, 2 years before this time, the Lord burdened me to pray. He's now 80 years old, almost. To pray, that the church today needs to pray. And he said, especially for the United States. And he said, when this virus broke out here, U.S. becoming the epicenter, he said, that seems to me to be the Lord's answer to my prayer, to speak to us, not only to the nation in general, but to us who are in the recovery in this country. Arise. Rise up. I need you to pray now, church. Dear brothers and sisters, that is a word to us. I was almost in tears. He was in tears. I was almost in tears. And he started to pray with four brothers, and then it grew to eight, grew to 12. Just brothers, maybe a sister or two, I'm not sure, just praying. They started with praying 30 minutes. Now they pray each time, not every day, but several times a week. An hour and a half each time. And they said 12 people is too much. They break it down into four each. What I will talk about the twos and threes. He said, you know, he just say that today so many saints, they have not touched this kind of prayer yet. They don't know what this prayer, kind of prayer is. They have not prayed themselves into God, and they have not prayed God into them. So the prayer is just always ordinary and superficial, more or less, but not touching this kind of prayer. Brothers and sisters, once you have a taste for this kind of prayer, you have an appetite. This kind of prayer is not the usual kind of a prayer. This is the kind of prayer that you enter into such oneness with God. I use two words, incorporation and cooperation. These two things conjoin, explains, describes the condition of this kind of a prayer. This kind of prayer is ourselves, we pray ourselves into God and God into us. There's an incorporation going on. It's not just even uniting. It is not just even mingling. It is incorporation. We in him and he in us and even his words in us. So have you touched that in this prayer, in this kind of a prayer? It is a cooperation in that this is the highest form of cooperation man can render to God. Nothing higher than this. We can do many things for the Lord, but nothing can compare with the prayer that we offer. Actually, we don't pray our prayer. We pray the prayer. We pray a prayer given by God to us. God is saying, pray this prayer. Don't pray your prayer, pray my prayer. I need someone to pray my prayer so that I can answer it, so that I can do something here. Where are these people? Where are these saints? So I hope, brothers and sisters, these days we would really enter into this kind of prayer. And I cannot tell you how. You just need to pray yourself into this kind of prayer. Of course, we need to be rightly conditioned. We need to be in a proper position with the Lord, right? We need to have a clear, even a pure conscience washed by the blood. Of course, we need to be fully exercising our mingled spirit, to even set our mind on the Spirit, because prayer is not just, you know, some kind of moving of the Spirit. Actually, God puts as the Spirit within us, who has its own mind, the mind of the Spirit in Romans 8. That mind, that Spirit, knows how to intercede for us according to God. So in the end, it's not just us praying, it is the Spirit praying, but it is the Spirit praying in us and through us and for us by our oneness with Him, one Spirit and even one mind. And that mind, no doubt, reflects the mind of Christ who is on the throne. It is the same one mind. That's why we need to set our mind on things above. That's why we need to learn to set our mind on the Spirit. All this become one Spirit and one mind in this universe with two ends, heaven and earth. I tell you, at that moment, I tell you, all earth has to be silent. The most solemn thing is taking place, that man has entered into the prayer of God. Brothers, who is praying this prayer? The second thing is to sustain our prayer is that we need to pray in, just as to help us to pray with the word, to pray with the word. I know the time is kind of cutting there. If the brothers don't mind, give me a few more minutes to just discharge this burden tonight. Pray with the word. Now, this matter of so-called prayer reading, and I don't want to just use that term. I would like to just say praying with the word, praying in the word, praying by the word. These days, I'm finding a new kind of a unveiling within me about this whole practice of prayer reading. Prayer reading is not just repeating. There's that side, repeating the word and saying amen. No, I tell you, the highest form of prayer, a Christian prayer, is prayer reading. Daniel prayer read Jeremiah. You see, in order to have the mind of the Spirit, the mind of the Lord, we need His word. We need His word. And tonight, a little bit of a preparation for this time. The Lord came to me in the morning about that verse in Jude 20, but you beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Two things going on here. Number one, your most holy faith. This is not subjective faith. This refers to the objective faith, the things that we believe in, the whole Bible, the gospel, the entire content of the New Testament related to God and His economy. This faith, building yourself upon this faith, this whole, this faith. And I remember the word in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, it says, be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished by the words of the faith. That faith is also the objective faith, the word of faith. Where is this objective faith, this objective truth? That becomes faith, our faith, the object of our belief. It is simply in the Word of God. Of course, in the case of 1 Timothy, it talks about not only the words of faith, but also the teaching that you have closely followed. That's the apostle's teaching. And the apostle's teaching just simply is the Word of God interpreted, opened up, revealed. And so, dear brothers and sisters, there are two things going on here. Number one, the holy faith. Number two, the Holy Spirit. We need to build up ourselves in the holy faith and then praying in the Holy Spirit. And these two things are conjoined here, almost the same one thing. I believe this means that we need both the holy faith and the Holy Spirit. There is a spirit within us, and that spirit, by the way, in Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, is the sword of the Spirit. Which spirit? That spirit is the Word of God. Do you see this? The Spirit and the Word is conjoined. It is one thing. It is the Spirit Word. It is the Word Spirit. That's the sword. And it says, receive that by what? By praying at every time in spirit. Every time in spirit, we have to take the sword. We have to receive the sword. Which sword? Is the Spirit of God. But that Spirit of God, that word, is no longer just the Logos word. It is the Rhema word. Through our prayer, it has become the breath of God that we have received into us. The word outside of us, received into us, breathed into us by the process of our prayer. And now has become Rhema within us. Rhema within us. And that Rhema is the sword that we use to war the warfare in our prayer. Praying at every time in spirit with petition and prayer, perseveringly for all the saints. That's prayer reading. So, brothers and sisters, how do we sustain our prayer? With the word. Oh, this morning, I don't know whether you were praying or not about the Lord's coming, right? The Lord's coming back. My, we ended up just pray reading, but we were not just pray reading, you know, just da-da-da, amen, da-da-da, amen. We pray ourselves into the word and the word into us. And before long, so much utterances, so much feeling within us about the Lord's coming back. Not just come Lord Jesus, so simple, but so many aspects of his coming based on that word, you know, in the reference today, were there. We enter into the prayer for the Lord's coming. Dear saints, you know, I have no time here. And the third thing I want to mention to you is by twos and threes. How do we sustain? I absolutely believe not just by ourselves. That doesn't mean we ourselves don't need to pray individually. But to sustain this kind of prayer, this level of prayer, twos and threes, threes and fours, you know, like this brother I just mentioned to you, like a Daniel, they have four, Daniel and his three companions. We're not legal about that, but when you get bigger than that, the dynamics changed. The participation changed. So that's why you need to go back to Matthew 18 to appreciate in that chapter on the church life, you really have three. In that, I call it the organic structure. There's only three. Number one, the church. Number two, the individual saint. And number three, the twos and threes. And that chapter strengthens and exaggerates and stresses the twos and threes in their fellowship, number one. And number two, in their prayers. And number three, in their shepherding. What brotherly co-vital group that has still not been worked out in a prevailing way? Brothers, I think we're staring at an opportunity right now. Right now, if we would not squander this, these are days with the help of Zoom, what have you, to build up the twos and threes. You can have two sets of twos and threes. But with twos and threes as companions, not just buddy buddies and friends, but as companions of prayer. And eventually from this, we will be led to be companions of what? Of fellowship, of enjoyment of the Lord's, the Emmanuel, and his riches. And finally, we will be companions to go preach the gospel and shepherd people. The universal shepherding is going to take place from here, from there. There's a lot more concerning the gospel we have not entered into, but we need to get through in this matter of prayers, especially of twos and threes. So I hope that this prayer that we're doing now will last beyond 9 more days. I don't know how long. We need a long time to build this up. Perhaps the Lord will bring in a new revival this time in our midst. I hope the saints and the churches in Northern California, you would be incentivized by my word today. You'll be encouraged by this word. You'll be incited by me with this word to make a kind of a vow, you know, make a kind of vow to pray. I think that is also in James. Let me take a look here. But anyway, dear saints, I think I better stop here soon. I have a lot more to say, but I think I better stop here. I promise I shouldn't really go beyond the time so much. So you forgive me for being a little bit strong here, but I can only open my heart. This dear brother, I'll end here, he said, Brother Minoru, you're so burdened these days. He said, go and speak. He said, don't be afraid, even you may offend people. You speak some heavy words. I said, thank you, brother. Thank you for your encouragement. And I'm not here just to have a bully pulpit, right, as they say, just lambasting the saints or saying you're not praying, you're no good. No, there's not that feeling at all in my heart. I speak to many churches nowadays with the same kind of feeling and the same kind of burden. I do believe many of you has an amen and a response in your heart. We don't need everybody. If there will be a good number that will rise up and cooperate with the Lord, to incorporate with the Lord first, and to cooperate with the Lord will have a way among us. The Lord strengthens all of you to persevere in prayer, much and thorough prayer. Good night.